Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
good evening. Welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast, broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky tonight for episode number 308. And it's a great night, a great week, and we've got a great guest for you tonight. Joining me tonight in the co-host chair in the Star Chamber are, from parts unknown in Tennessee, the one, the only, the Dark Style one, Daniel Dark. And from just a few feet away in another room in our studio facility, the lovely, the vivacious, and the wondrous Holly Marie Phillippe. Welcome, friends.
Oh.
How are we?
Hello. I was having some headphone trouble, but I think I've got it now.
Yeah, I could hear that. That wasn't special effects.
No, that was me.
Yeah, we're not using our vaunted sound effects bank on that one. Yeah, those are authentic headphone adjustment sounds live on the air. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Star Chamber Show. But it's fun.
Sorry, guys.
When we're live. It's fun when we're live. Yeah.
I couldn't hear. It was like everything was, you know, down in a cave or something. I'm like, what is up? So I had to unplug them and plug them back in from the headphone jack itself. So that seemed to work.
Awesome. Well, folks, our first two people are in the chat room, and it is building up. So if you are listening and would like to join our live chat, it is open. It is working. If it does not, log in right away. Refresh the page. Try a time or two. Sometimes it's a little quirky, but we have the wonderful Sandy Lender, the genre blender. And we got some news about Sandy here in a second. And then also Carol Preflatish, who just got a bunch of her books in today for convention season. Just saw that post earlier from Carol, and you need to go see Carol live because we have breaking news. Carol got her first tattoo. She got a tattoo the other day and posted it online publicly, so I can report on this. But yes, it's a great tattoo of some books, and so I jokingly put on her thread that now she's going to have to get an arm sleeve and have a whole bookshelf going all the way down her arm from her elbow to her wrist. So now that she's got
I don't
the
think she'll go that far.
So they look great.
Get the cover of every one of her books down her body. So
yeah, she's gonna have to get all her book covers now in this big bookshelf array going down her arm. Yes, that's next, I'm sure. That's what Carol is probably planning as we speak. And but it was a very nice-looking tattoo, and congrats on it, Carol. And looking forward to seeing it in person coming up on, I believe, April the 9th at the Kentucky Anna Independent Authors Fair. That's the one in LaGrange, Kentucky. Run by the great Tony Acree and Hydra Publications. He's a sponsor along with LaGrange Tourism, I believe, is involved in this year. It's going to be a great one-day book festival at City Place. It's a new venue. I have not been there yet, but I hear it's going to be really, really nice, and going to be a lot of great authors there. Going to see Carol there and many others. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you know, Holly is going to be there in all her glory. We're going to turn her
loose. Oh, yeah, I'm wound
well.
Up.
I don't know if that's wise, but Holly will be there.
I will.
Be warned.
But like I said, there's so many new faces this year. I may have to behave a little bit more than normal because, you know, normally I'm like, woo, but yeah, I may have to, you know, notch that back to about a 7 from a 10.
Well, your 7 is definitely most people's 11, so
well, <that's
laughs> I think
true.
You'll be all right. But, yeah, it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April the 9th at a place, the new venue is called City Place. And, yes, Main Street LaGrange, LaGrange Tourism, and Hydra Publications are the hosts of this year's event sponsors. And, of course, Tony Acree, the one and only Tony Acree, Kentuckiana Independent Authors Fair. And also, I want to give you a heads up in our region, the Bluegrass Writers Coalition Conference of Writers has a great writers conference coming up on Saturday, April the 30th. That is in Frankfort, Kentucky, so not far at all from where we are, not far from any of you in Louisville and some other surrounding areas in the Tri-City area, Cincinnati region too. Frankfort's not that far of a trip at all, but it's going to be a full day of workshops, readings, guests, and books and lots of stuff, and it's the inaugural year for this conference, and yours truly is a guest. I am happy to say, very honored to be a invited guest, and I will be participating on some of those panels during the day. So, and Holly will also; she
and
is also going to be participating.
We'll be there.
I've got something to say to the bookers that are going to be at LaGrange. The place is called City Place, and that's with a C, not an S. So stand up behind your tables and everything and greet people instead of sitting down and looking bored.
And morose.
Yes.
Amen.
Morose. Holly and I were just talking about that.
Don't be staring at your phone. Don't be staring at your phone.
We had a conference call with author Lawrence Wheel a day ago, and great guy, great author, and we were just talking about that exact subject, Daniel. It was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lawrence says, you know, he says, I grab them as I see them. He said, they ain't getting by me, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and I said, yeah, that's what you got to do. Even if you can't, I can't stand all the time, but, you know, I alternate. I stand, I sit, but I'm like, hey, what genre do you like to read? You know, as soon as I see them coming, I make eye contact with them, because then they feel awkward if they walk by, you know, without stopping.
Yeah, body language,
and just,
too.
And
you want to keep
follow them as they go past you, just follow them.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
They'll turn around and look to see if you're still looking at them then.
Yeah, you want to keep your arms and body open, though, in body language, too. You don't want to cross your arms. You know, a lot of people tend to do that behind their tables. Crossing your arms is kind of a closed, defensive kind of posture. So, yeah, be careful of that. Lawrence and us were talking about that, too, the other day, body language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Important.
Yeah, and it's easy to do. I mean, you're sitting there, you're getting tired, you know, especially if you're not real busy. And you do, you know, it's a habit to sit with your arms crossed or whatever, but be mindful of that, because that is off-putting to people, and they'll walk by you. And another thing, you know, if you're getting real bored and, you know, there ain't a whole lot of stuff going on at that time, get up and kind of rearrange your table or just move around your table a little bit, you know, walk around and, you know, different areas of your table. Kind of, you know,
actually,
wake up.
You stand in the front of your table instead of behind the table. That takes away the barrier.
Yeah, that's true too. You could even sit. I mean, honestly, you could get something. You could sit there on the corner
of
your table
instead of behind it.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
Yes, and I do want to get in a couple tidbits of news before we do our sponsors. We do have some new workshops listed on the Imaginarium workshops, programming page with workshops and panels. We have well over, you know, there's going to be probably around 120 panels and workshops that are included in an event ticket. But we are getting to do a couple of what we call premium exclusive workshops. They have small additional mm-hmm. fees involved, but only because of what they have to for these particular workshops. And so I just want to make you all aware of those before we do them. One is called Character Development Using Myers-Briggs to Create Believable and Multi-Layered Characters. And that is going to be given by Barbara V. Evers. And it does have a small $35 fee because there is an online assessment and type report that's part of this type with Myers-Briggs. And so that that cost obviously has to be worked into it. And but it's a great, look on the Imaginarium site for the full description of that. It's a long one, but it'll give you, it's going to be an amazing workshop. Then that Thursday, our very own Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, has a killer workshop on Thursday, July 7th. It's called The Short Story Marathonarium. And I hope I got that right, Sandy. I've been practicing that word, Marathonarium. And yes, it's kind of like, you heard about the 3-day novel contest, 24-hour poetry marathon, things like that. And this is a 3-hour short story marathon that's going to take place on that Thursday, July 7th of the Imaginarium weekend. And the completion of the short story will get you published in an anthology as part of the workshop. So not only do you get a full workshop, it's going to be a 3.5-hour workshop, but you're also going to be in a edited anthology with Sandy Lender. Yeah, Sandy will be the captain of the ship as the editor on that one. But yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity. And yeah, there is a small $42 extra fee of that, just because there's obviously, again, costs with the physical books and everything else involved. But yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool 42, workshop.
42 is the answer to all, as Sandy says.
The answer to all. Right. So, but I will shoot over here because I want to get our guest on right away. So let me get our sponsors in tonight. This is tonight we have the amazing Sandy Lender and Ren Garcia with his big questions. So tonight first, since we've been talking about Sandy and her great workshop, we will go segue right into her spot. And I encourage you to take advantage of this and join her and discover a pretty cool platform for creatives. All right. So here you go. Listen close.
Do you want to continue creative conversations every day? Author Sandy Lender invites you to join her community on the alternative social platform, Locals. Join Sandy Says Read at locals.com and support a creative community. And just like a drug dealer, she's offering the first month for free with promo code READ. Get access to fun, creative content, book news and reviews, and share opinions that don't randomly get canceled. Use code READ to join Sandy Says Read on Locals today.
Thank you very much, Sandy. You are awesome. Really appreciate your steadfast support of the show. And so here we go. Are you ready, Daniel or Holly? Which one of you two will have to take the first answer on this at the end? Ren always asks a certain question. And so here we go. League of Elders series. The mastermind behind that, Ren Garcia. Check this out.
The League of Elders dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Oh, Ren, I am weird enough for you.
Okay, we got Holly weird enough, Daniel normal enough. Of course, that's defined normal as in dark style language. So that's a little different than what most people may use as definition. And then yes, Ren, we are all weird or normal enough for you. So that's awesome. And so I'm going to go right ahead with tonight's guest, who I am just thrilled to have. It's always an honor to have this guest on our show. Definitely one of the most prolific and active creatives in our region, and somebody you don't want to miss, somebody you definitely want to find online, follow, and read. And he is a publisher. He's a hybrid author, so he works with many publishers, also self-publishes, an award-winning playwright, and also a broadcaster with shows that are shown on YouTube, Facebook and other channels, and also a comic book writer. And he is the head of the Rising Tide Broadcasting Network, which includes a like-minded assemblage of internet hosts that includes the three shows that he hosts, Never Mind the Furthermore, Clever Title Pending, and Comic Book Spectrum. And you know who I'm talking about now. The one, the only, the man himself, Brian K. Morris. Your mic is on. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Boy, you sure made me sound impressive. I'm wow.
I told you, Bombastic.
You are impressive.
You are impressive.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. But I told you to be bombastic. There you go.
I can handle more bombacity. I really can. I'll give you half an hour to stop that kind of talk.
Yes. And it's great to have you. The last time you were on the show, we did a double show with you and one of our mutual friends and wonderful author who was on recently, Bobby Nash. Yes. But tonight we get you all to ourselves.
Yeah.
So. So this is going to be fun.
Now I've longed for this moment.
I haven't had a chance to talk to this man in a long time, so this is going
to be
a great night.
It's
yes.
been a while. Yes, it has. Yeah. And I do miss
yeah,
you.
Yeah, time flies.
So, you know.
I mean, I feel like it. You know, I see you all the time out there with all the. I mean, you're just always active.
Yeah,
I mean,
I do
always
too.
Got new shows going up and things like that. And so, you know, it never registers on me how long it's been since I've last. You know, I saw you in person last summer, Imaginarium, but you know, we had you on the show last year, earlier in the year. But yeah, time flies. So, yeah, great.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, the last couple of years have destroyed any sort of time sense that I used to have. So,
yes.
You know, it
yes,
could have been last happened. Week, and it'll seem like, yeah, I remember about 15 years ago when we last spoke. And,
yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't
it
surprise me
like
if
that.
You time travel. I would not surprise
mm-hmm.
me.
Well, there you go. I wear a bow tie and a fez for a reason, you know.
I love it. It's your
the
trademark.
It's
fantastic.
The fez that he crawls inside of that, you know, takes him to the other time.
Now we got a story.
Now we understand. Now we get it.
Now we should do a whole anthology based on stories about Brian based on that concept.
His fez.
That's next. So, my friend.
I can hardly wait.
Bring us up to date on some of the things that are going on in your creative world, because there are just so many. We will get them out on the table, and then we can start to kind of break it down and talk about a few things individually. But, yeah, bring us up to date on the world of Brian K. Morris.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, I'm delighted to be here, as always. Love the show. Love you guys. Well, let's see. I realized late last year that I hadn't published anything of my own in a couple of years. And so this year is going to be the year, I keep threatening this, that I'm going to move from who's he to oh, God, not him again. As such, you know, of course, you know, I've got the broadcasting. We've got the Rising Tide Broadcast Network, which has a variety of wonderful, wonderful shows, if I say so myself. You know, we've got everything from fencing, and, you know, like armed combat type of fencing, not what you put around the edge of your property, but also adult beverages, animation, horror, just general creativity and fall to roll, just all kinds of really cool programs. I'm really proud of the network. And as far as my writing goes, I've been doing a lot of stuff for other people. I have a short story that, you know, you mentioned our mutual friend Bobby Nash. Hi, Bobby. One of the stories I did for him for his Snow series, his Abraham Snow series, I did a pastiche called Snow Ambition, and it's up for a Pulp Reality Award, which is a – or not Pulp Reality, excuse me, Windy City Pulp and Paper, the Pulp Factory Award.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I tell people that, you know, like
another magazine I was in from Stormgate Press, Pulp Reality, number one, won two of the awards there last year. And I was telling people, I feel like Ving Rhames at the end of the first Mission Impossible film, I don't know how to deal with respectability. You know, it's kind of a mystery to me at this point. But anyway, I'm up for that award. And also had a couple of essays in a series of books about the Batman TV series from 1966. And I tell people, what a great job I've got. I get to sit home, you know, pants optional. Every day is casual Friday at my place. And I was forced to watch Milton Berle and Vincent Price on Batman. You know, it's okay to feel pity for me. Yeah, I know. You know, there ought to be a telethon for my suffering, awful. I'm telling you. Yeah. It's terrible being me. But anyway, those books have come out. I'm very proud of those essays. Plus, I've got a Patreon page that for the last few months I've been serializing a book called The Terrors, and it's a take on an old comic book character, the Black Terror. But it was the first time since I was in college, which was about the time Barney Rubble graduated, that I tried pantsing anything seriously. And I gave myself a couple guidelines to go by, but I actually pantsed a novel where I never plotted any further than the next chapter. And then I just sat down and wrote it, and it turned out okay. And we're going to be releasing that this summer. My Patreon members have been seeing the serialization. Plus, it convinced me I can write a readable first draft, which couldn't claim to before. But that's a lot of what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get a lot of work done and pushed out the door. And plus, we're going to be doing some more horror stories, some more adventure stuff, anything that captures my imagination, because I've got the attention span of a housefly, which is why I don't get any more done than I do. So that's pretty much me, just keeping busy and just having the best time. And plus, we're starting to do conventions again.
Yeah.
And, so we're taking our act on the road again. So and hopefully I'm sure I will see you guys this summer. I'm planning on making that one of my stops. So
I sure
Fantastic.
Hope so. We definitely would love to have you back. But you're right. It's getting underway. And like here in Kentucky, I just mentioned a couple which involve a lot of folks that you personally know. The Kentuckiana Independent Authors Fair with Tony Acree. Yes. That's definitely one that you're probably, you know, well familiar with. And then the Bluegrass Conference of Writers. That's Virginia right. Smith and the group there in Frankfurt. But, yeah, it's definitely looking like things are going to finally – yeah, we're having Lexington. Toy and Comic-Con is actually going on this week here in Lexington. That's a fandom event, but that's a big one. But it's looks like things are finally getting, dare I say, I wouldn't say completely normal, but it looks like things are returning a little bit more toward at least functioning again.
Right.
So,
yeah, I don't think we'll ever see normal again, but it's functioning.
Yeah. I'll take functioning over what we've had the last couple of years.
Amen.
I tell people if you want to go to normal, it's north of Bloomington, Illinois. Look it up on a map.
There you go.
Seriously, there is a town in Illinois called Normal.
Town named Normal.
And I tell people it's as close as I ever get to it. So
that's it.
Normal's boring.
But it
that's
is opening
true.
Up again, and that's good. And what are some of your early shows? I'm just curious as to which ones you're picking to visit. You have some coming up this spring.
Yeah. In fact, April, I've got I told myself I'm not going to do as many shows this year. I'm going to be pretty choosy about it because I've got all this stuff to write. And my editor, Cookie, has told me that I am to become a lot more productive or else. And when Cookie talks, I listen, darn it. But no, we've got SI Comic-Con out of Benton, Illinois, the hometown of John Malkovich. I'll be there
nice.
April 2nd, then Big River Comic-Con in Hannibal, Missouri on the 8th and 9th, and then Saluki Con And if you want to find out what a Saluki is, show up on April 16th in Carbondale, Illinois at the Southern Illinois University Student Center, and we'll tell you what we think it might be, because I'm honest, it's some sort of animal. I'm not really sure more than that. and then you know, we'll have a few shows scattered throughout the next coming months, but most of the time I'm going to be spending here at the house broadcasting and writing. So.
Very cool. And the Saluki, I happen actually to – I do know that one. It's actually a kind of like a Persian greyhound. It's a dog breed, so that is cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's that
well,
is –
Well, there you go.
That is neat. They got a convention named after that dog. Yeah, that is awesome.
It is. Yeah, they had kind of a – in Southern Illinois, they had kind of like this Egyptian motif going on down there, which is really quite interesting. And I did an interview with a man who used to be the publicity guy for DC Comics and also a comic editor on his own. And I did an interview with him, and I just happened to casually mention Salukis, you know, and that you know they were doing – he mentioned actually that he had gotten his journalism degree at Southern Illinois University, and I mentioned, yeah, Salukis are doing well this year. And he said he had been doing interviews for like 40 years, and I was the first person that mentioned Salukis. So.
That is awesome. So, yeah, it sounds like you're jumping into the – right into the action there. That's a – That's gonna be great. So I'll have to keep track of your feedback on some of those events. Like I said, we're doing two in April to kind of break the ice, and hopefully Holly and I are gonna start getting out there a little bit more on our end. Okay. So yeah, I'm excited to get out there after it seemed like a couple of years in stasis as far as events went. You know, that was frustrating with everything, most events being shut down. We got fortunate last summer because we did get to have an unhindered Imaginarium and right there in the middle of the summer.
Yes,
and that was nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful that we picked that spot of the year because it seems to be a good one. So for this, you know, cycles with viruses and whatnot. But it's we're expecting that to be smooth again this year. So, but yeah, it's nice to see the March, April, May events starting to, you know, move forward and do things.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about that. And
definitely
want to see can't wait to see the pictures of the man in the fez popping up online from all over. That'd be great.
I'm
and
sure
live
there
streams.
Will be some.
Yeah, knowing you, it'll be live streams and video because, I mean, you are on top. I mean, a lot of authors are introverts and tend not to, you know, to shy away from, you know, even doing audio podcasts. And but you are the man when it comes to video. I mean, you've got shows, you've got a network, you've got, like you just said, and you did give me a chuckle when you said you had a show on fencing, but the combat kind, because it's almost like if I was actually trying to put up fencing of the around the yard kind, it would almost be like a battle for me. So that would be a combat kind too.
I understand you try that.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing some Rising Tide Broadcasting Network streaming from the shows and then I guess maintaining the show during a live, you know, getting back into live events? That's you're going to be busy.
Kidding. I would like to. I would like to do some live shows from some of these locations. A lot of the places I go are kind of out of the way. I like doing – I love the bigger conventions like Imaginarium, but I also have a fondness for like the somewhat small to medium-sized shows because I get more one-on-one time with the people that come up to my booth, and I get to actually have conversations a lot of the time, which, hopefully I can impart something that they can take home and maybe, get them going on their own careers. But, it also fires me up to hear what other people are going through and how they live and everything. And sometimes these communities don't exactly have the strongest Wi-Fi, shall we say. And unfortunately, you know, that
been there.
Hinders me.
I have two.
Yeah, especially when you're running your Square to take credit cards.
Yep.
And it goes into that mode where you can still swipe the cards and it will still register in your phone. And then you take it into the area where you do have Wi-Fi, and suddenly this thing starts buzzing like it's the MacGuffin in a season of 24, like it's going to go off at any moment. And it makes all these rude sounds, and you have to take it out of your pocket for numerous reasons because you're afraid of it.
Right.
Hopefully I got a new phone this year, and hopefully it will behave a little
yeah.
bit more
like it's a slow advance
to the local.
When you finally get a sale, and you're like, oh my God, you know, you've been you know, smaller event, you get a little drought, and you finally get a sale, and it's like, don't fail me now, you know, when the Wi-Fi starts acting up. My gas money is on the line. Don't fail me now. I've been
right,
there.
That's right. Praying to all the technology gods all at once, all right now. So, yeah, I've been there, my man. I've been there.
But, yeah, I'm with you, and I love that. And I still feel, actually, that we've got a bit of that vibe at Imaginarium. It has grown bigger, but you know, the personal is key, I mean, for enjoying an event. And that's one of the things I'm looking forward to with the two we're doing in April, and that kind of, you know, one-on-one conversations with either readers or other authors, both. And it's, that's where, you know, when you teach, you learn. That's one thing I've come to understand over the years. Yeah, when you get out there and do teaching, you end up learning, and that vibe also works when talking to readers and all. So, yeah, you're always enriched out of these interactions, and yeah, it's much better than being in a huge event that where you're just swamped with a mass crowd. You don't really get to get into the depth of conversation that you do at some of the others. So I miss that when I'm at larger events. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I have one question. Have you ordered your room tickets and stuff yet?
Not yet. Now here's the thing. We have recently invested, my wife, Cookie, and I, in something that we call Calgon. And, of course, what's, you know, for us more seasoned citizens, what's the first thing you think of when you hear Calgon? Calgon, take me away. It was like, you know, better that's an ancient Chinese secret. But anyway, the thing is, we've been wanting for a couple of years a cargo van that, you know, I spend enough every year on motels that that would make a sizable car payment. And just recently, we managed to luck into a fairly low mileage, highly customizable cargo van that weighs about the same as like a 747 jet, and we ride above the mere crowds, you know, majestically. We're going to see a lot of rooftops on cars this summer, but we decided to make it into like a mobile. We're going to make it into like a mobile motel, if you will, and you know, just, you know, kind of sort of camp out in there. Now, it's not that Cookie and I are like really majorly into nature and into camping and everything. I tell people our idea of roughing it is when the restaurant isn't attached to the motel. You know, that's about as close as we get to it. If we have to go across the parking lot, it becomes Bear Grylls all over again. But we just thought, you know, we like spending time together, and this be a great way for us to like do day trips and go to a convention. And you never know when the dealer's room closes. We throw open the back doors, and there's a rack of my books, hashtag always promote. So, we're going to make this work out. We're going to make it pay for itself.
Well, yeah, you could just over and sell them from the back of your vehicle like people used to CDs. They used to sell CDs out of the trunks of their car. hey, it worked then.
That's right. I knew a lot of people still stuff out in the trunk of their cars. Usually it wasn't theirs, but that's another issue. This at least is
people
mine.
And people used to sell roses, too, a lot. I know you all see – you never see those anymore, but people would be beside the road and sell roses.
Yeah. I remember driving down to Florida back around the year 2000, and I was amazed to see how many people in Florida and Georgia were selling onions.
Yeah.
You know. This is truly bizarre. We like this. So,
Valdez.
Yes, Valdez.
So maybe.
Valdez, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And we transferred from their trunk to ours. So
Brian, maybe you and I should team up and we should hit the road and sell produce and books out the back of a vehicle. We can make real money.
We could bring a grill with us. We'll sell food. You know, my wife has a sanitation license. We can make this work out somehow. You know?
Well, there you go.
Literary,
and I love to cook. So, hey, we got it. We got it handled.
Literary food truck. Kickstarter coming soon. I love it.
If you see me outside of the Imaginarium, that's what I'm doing. You know, a free Santa Stein novel with every full meal purchase, you know.
Nice. You would do well. You would do well because that one, Holly, the name, at their old venue, we had a food truck that just did phenomenally well. They ran out of food.
They did crepes, and they ran out of food.
Oh, my God. I love that truck.
Right?
You must get them back.
Oh,
yeah.
If I was allowed, I would, but they don't like
it's
me fighting against them, you know, the hotel. Otherwise, I would get them back.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah,
we're trying to get to the point where they'll let us do a little extra. But, they're happy with us. But hopefully they'll give us a little latitude to allow something like that in the future. But, that was great. I missed that truck.
They were great people, too. They were so much fun.
They were. I remember, what was it, Saturday night while I was waiting for my food, I was telling them dirty jokes. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, I wish I was there. Oh, I wish, because they were cool. They were cool guys. I wish I was there. They got an Imaginarium T-shirt like on the first day, and like they wore it in the food truck throughout the weekend. I thought that was, that meant a lot to me. That was cool. Nice, just a little gesture.
Well,
those things mean a lot.
Me and the owner switched.
They can ring it out
every
hour, but you know.
Yeah.
That poor guy that was in there cooking everything, it was so hot in there, even with the fans blowing.
Oh,
I know. Because it kept them busy. I mean, they stayed busy.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. And it was great food, too, so yay.
Yeah.
Well,
I love
food trucks.
It was an actual meal.
Yeah, it was.
So you did not... You did not go away hungry, you know, for the little bit you paid for it.
That's true.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, you think we could do it? We can beat Brandon Sanderson's latest Kickstarter. You think we could do it? It's up to $29 million right now. It's got 15 days left. I don't know if you saw
If I had Brandon Sanderson's money right now, I'd throw mine away, you know?
Yeah.
That's
insane.
Well, I think that's great. I really do.
Oh, I love it.
It's
great. It's a book project.
Great.
It shows that there is a hunger for in the book world independently, because that's an independent book offering. I mean, it's not being done through a major press. That's him. And 125,000 plus people and 29 million, and he's got 15 days left, so God knows what's going to be up to at the end of 15 more days. But, wow.
Yeah.
That's just
fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah,
it is
great.
The thing is, I look at that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daniel.
Is it a book he's written or
several?
Four.
He secretly wrote some books during the COVID. Yeah, during COVID, he evidently wrote a secret series and just came out and offered it in a big Kickstarter that's going to be released, I guess, in 2023. And March 1st is when he did launch the Kickstarter just out of the blue.
He's staggering them, though. They get one, like, every quarter or whatever, every you know, 3 months,
the year.
They get the book. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and wow. In the interim months between books, they have like you know, like those monthly boxes where you get all kinds of swag and stuff. He's got all kinds of stuff that he's created that you know, like bookmarks and you know whatever's, you know, just, you know, little boxes of little goodies like you see at the Imaginarium table, pens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get one of those during the months when you don't get a book. So I think it's very creative.
Cool.
And it gives me hope.
Yeah, it's
because,
awesome.
You know, like you said, it shows there's readers out there, okay?
Big
time. Can spend their money on a lot of different things, but they're spending it on books. And the thing is, I also see this as something that's reproducible, something I talk about a lot when I'm, you know, talking to people about writing and publishing, in that what Brandon Sanderson is doing, any of us might be doing, say, 5-10 years from now if we build ourselves up properly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. And
that's what
I'm
doing right now. Is I'm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
love
a,
it because it. Go ahead, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building a big platform and everything. So when I launch some more books and stuff, there'll be a audience there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I love that.
Instead of just, you know, something that. You know, I put out there, and I'm sitting there banging my head against the wall trying to sell any of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. Promotion is the toughest part of this. But, you know, if you build the
– It is.
I feel that if you build it properly, you know, you will attract
mm-hmm.
the right kind of customer.
Yes. And I think
true.
That – but Brian, yeah, just to put a note on that, I mean, they've had some – massive, like, video game projects, movie projects, things like that. It's great to see
mm-hmm.
books shine like this. I mean, I think it's the record on Kickstarter. I mean, it is a book project now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just tickled. I'm tickled with that. I think that's awesome.
I do, too.
That is fantastic.
I don't think it's the record on Kickstarter, but for a book launch, that
yeah.
is the record. Some guy did one that got like $100 million or something like that, something crazy.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look it up, though. It's got to be up there. It has to be one of the largest ever.
It's insane.
It's up there. It's one of the largest ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's massive.
The fastest. I think it did set the record for the fastest. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing, and it's like it's funny because there are so many people I talked to that had never heard of Brandon Sanderson. I admit I've not read his work, but something like this makes me want to and find out what, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
like 40 years ago when we were hearing about this Stephen King guy, and you know, if you didn't see the movies or everything, and you hear about this great writer named Stephen King, and then all of a sudden you pick up a book and go, oh, okay, now I get it. So,
yeah, it's like when I was
yeah,
reading the, you know, manuscript of, you know, from Conan Doyle, you know, when he's first starting his writing and everything, and I was reading those manuscripts, mm-hmm. nobody had ever heard of him before. He did
right.
okay.
Yeah. yeah, he did it right. But yeah, Brandon, I mean, he does have he's just been a very prolific writer, and, you know, he finished the Robert Jordan Wheel of Time series, and then actually I met him when he was touring with Robert Jordan's wife, came through Lexington, and Joseph Beth, and I met him in person, and a really nice, really gracious, really down-to-earth fellow. I really came away from that with a good feeling about the kind of person he is, and so, yeah, I have to say I root for him, but it's great to, I mean, he is really, really, yeah, I recommend him, Brian. He's a really top-flight writer, and his series is, you know, are solid. I mean, definitely solid. I mean, you won't, you know, whether or not it's your all-time favorite thing, you know, is one issue, but, I mean, I think you'll come away saying, yeah, I really enjoyed that. You know, that's, yeah, he's definitely got some major skill. Good
very
writer.
Cool.
And, but yeah, it's cool to watch this. I love success stories like this, and it certainly is raising the buzz on the book world. So it can't hurt. And, so when Stephen and Brian launched their literary food truck and we raised $20 million, you know, hey, you know, we'll get this done.
There you go. And we will remember the little people.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Remember us little people?
That's right.
Oh,
I always said that if I ever win like a major award, I'm going to thank the little people who made it possible and the big people who made it necessary.
Yes. That's the way to say it. Yeah. I was trying to think. You articulated it much better than I. Or the big people
that didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, that's why. That's why one of my hashtags is fueled by spite.
Because when
I started self-publishing, I just lost my job at the water company. I've told that story a bazillion times, but it's still true. But anyway, I had a number of people who were saying, you know, like, what are you doing now that you're not working? Well, I'm going to be writing a book. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, nobody will buy those books. Are you self-published? Well, nobody reads self-published books. And I'm here to testify that, yeah, they do. And it's kind of funny because I talk to a lot of people who are just starting their writing careers, and they're like, well, you know, so-and-so's picking on me, and, you know, they're saying, well, I can't make it. And, you know, you can throw statistics at them about, you know, successful self-published authors. I mean, there are some that are making 6 and 7 figures at this game.
Yes, there is one of them. Yes,
yeah.
There is.
But I'm working at it. But, you know, the thing that I sat there with
at one of the conventions and everything, we're sitting there having drinks and smoking cigars and stuff, and his monthly was a 6-figure monthly in bookkeeping.
Right.
And he was an independent author. We know quite a few friends that
will go unnamed because, of course, we're not going to disclose private stuff. But we have a couple friends in the writing world that are not far away that make five figures a month and up. You know, and they're independent and self published. And I've seen their Kindle reports. They've shared them with me, and I've my jaws hit the floor, and I've said, I wish I had that kind of book sales. But absolutely. I mean, there are more than you think out there. They're doing well, but they all do it professionally. Like Brian. Brian is a prime example. These people are they attend to all aspects of the publishing process. They don't give short shrift to any phase. And that's another thing to emphasize. Yeah, there's quite a range of things in the indie book world, but yeah, when you want to do it well, you got to focus on all aspects in the publishing process. And yeah, and that'll get you a shot. I think the chance. It doesn't guarantee
very
it,
true.
But it puts you in the ballpark.
Exactly. And the thing is, I would put a lot of independent press, like Seventh Star Press, as being better edited. More care taken with the package. I hear all kinds of horror stories about now the big four now. Publishers that they're like sausage factories. They're just grinding the stuff out, whereas there's everyone in this conversation here who give a damn about what goes out with their name on it, or even with somebody else's, because those are our friends. And we take care to edit to the best of our ability and to get the best cover possibly get.
That's it. You want to take pride and what you put out there, and that's what we was talking about with Lawrence the other day, a new author of ours, but was the fact that we had some editor trouble that just wasn't editing, they wasn't editing up to our standards. And so me and Stephen have taken on, being editor in chief of our books. So we edit like 98.9% of our books now that we put out. We are in the works of getting another editor to come on. But
there's one that we're going to integrate shortly. But Holly's right. We took it over to make sure it got done right. We want to make sure it got done right.
And they are professional, and we know that they do good work.
I am one of the contestants on having an editor that did not edit the book.
Yeah, that happens. You got to stay on them.
I've had that happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're paying them. that really makes me not happy when I'm paying somebody to do something. And then I end up having to do the job. That's not a fun feeling.
Yeah, or the only one that's worse for me is you hand in your manuscript and you know you're right about some of the stuff, and then you go through and you read it, you know, and they don't send you a proof copy or anything, but you read it and you see that they've inserted errors. And that makes me nuts. It's like I'm not the best editor in the world, but when I'm looking at something going, wait a minute, I did not send it out like that. I know better than that, so.
Well, I'll tell you what we do. We actually, we go through and edit, and then we give it back to the author and have them look over it, because there may be things that they can enlighten us on, say, no, I meant to come across like this. I meant to say it like this, but, you know, I'll reword it. And so we work together, you know, on those instances.
Well,
and that makes, you know, the great copy, because discussing it with your editor, that's why the editor-author relationship is so important. You have to be able to work with an editor that you get along with, that you vibe with, you know, and that has your best interests at heart.
And gets to know your work.
Yeah, my editor is mean to me and everything. She won't even hardly come.
I am mean as hell. I am mean as hell.
I've got one like that here in the house. You know, I even go so far as to sleep with this woman. You know what I'm saying? I want the best editing. I'm willing to sleep with her to get it. And, you know, she was doing some editing for another publisher recently, and she happened to have a story of mine. The publisher said, do you mind telling your husband how to write? And she goes, I do that anyway. Bring it. And so, you know, there's just no respite, you know, and I'm like writing the publisher going, I'm never working with this editor again. Do you know what, and I insert your favorite obscenity there. You know, the type of person she is, you know, and of course Cookie's just eating this up, knowing I'm writhing under all this torment. So,
oh, yeah, it's fun when you live with your editor because, well, Steve and I, oh, God, me and him go rounds on some things, and he don't always agree with me, of course. And, yeah, I don't
think
it's
fun. In a friendly, constructive way. We aren't, like, fighting, you know, but, I mean, yeah, sometimes I'll have to explain what something is or what choice, word choice is. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's always room for that. But, yeah, I mean, as long as you know the editor has your back and, you know, that's the key, and you got to trust him.
Yeah. Exactly, and she is a great editor, Cookie, I will say that. And she's really very responsible for whatever success I've had doing this. And I do tease her about things like that. But she's also the same person. I wrote my Volcana book, and she handed back the manuscript, and her critique was, is chapter 39 supposed to make sense? And I'm like, oh.
Dang.
Okay. Okie dokie, you better go back. And I'm like, it makes sense, woman. It makes sense. And then I go back, oh, crap. I can't decipher this at all. So, you know, yeah, and then I go through and rewrite it again. But, that is one thing. I edited a novel for somebody recently, and it was a newer writer, and I had to explain, or I felt the need to explain to him, as of right now, you and I are partners. You know, I don't necessarily work for you, and you don't work for me. We are partners.
Right.
We have the same goal to make this manuscript the best it can be. I have some experience on you, and if you disagree, I want to hear it. But if I say something and I can defend it, I want you to consider changing things. You have the final say, but if you think that you need to push back on something, let's have that conversation. If you have any questions, I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to ask them immediately rather than stew about it and wonder why I'm talking like I am. And it turned I think we put out a really decent book together. And it was a learning experience. You know, like you said earlier, you know, you edit, you learn things. You teach, you learn.
You do.
Yeah, and I think that's very useful. I think more of us should do editing for other people because there is all kinds of cool stuff. And I love a good editor.
Not me.
You know, I. Well, you're an exception, Daniel. You're like Mary Poppins. You're practically perfect in every way. I understand this.
No. So. The editing. If I edit something for you, you'd say they go. What are they? Mm-hmm. I read the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I am not an editor. I, you know, no. You can ask Colin.
Yeah, not,
I am that, not an
yeah.
editor.
No, that's not Daniel's forte. Storytelling is Daniel's forte.
I understand that. I'm a very slow editor because my OCD kicks in. And I admit there are some areas I'm weak in, you know, but I'm thorough to the point of being anal about it. And then you give it back to me on the next pass and I'm finding more stuff, you know, even though it's been corrected because I missed something the first time. But that's the sort of back and forth that I think makes a book better or any story. So
mm-hmm. agree. And
yeah, when
I think as a writer, though, you could
something. When Holly sends me something back and says, you know, this is the way it needs to be, I'm like, okay.
I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
Well, I know what Brian's getting at because I could rewrite eternally. I could rewrite my own manuscripts literally eternally. Every single pass, I will find something to tweak, something to adjust. And I've just learned over time just to feel that point where, okay, I'm done, and I'm going to hand it off to the editor.
You got to quit.
Otherwise, I literally would go for eternity, I mean, rewriting. I mean, it's just the way I am.
I only write each sentence about 20 times before it becomes part of the book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You gotta eventually tell yourself that's it, no more. I've got to let it go, you know. Because literally, you could go on for eternity. It'll never end because you're your own worst critic. So then you're going to keep just going back over it, saying, "Oh, but if I rewrite this, it'll sound better. I better redo this part, or no, this character would do this instead." And mm-hmm. you're rewriting whole paragraphs. And I mean, it's just an evil circle. Yeah,
you think yourself
you'll drive
in the
yourself
loops
insane.
And also by the time you look at something, let's like in my case, you know, my first real book was about 10 years ago. I can look back at that book with a different eye because I like to think because I've put in a little more practice, I'm a better writer than I was back then. So, you know, I'm probably over 50,000 words, and I could probably condense it down to 200 now, But you look at things that you've done in the past and you wonder, how did I let that go? And, you know, it's like I hear a lot of visual artists talk about that, too, that you never really complete a piece. You just simply reach a point where you feel you need to let it go. And the nice thing about what we do mm-hmm. is we can always do an addition, a correction down the road. Because we are better writers mm-hmm. by the time we put in the practice, you know, whether it's months, years, whatever is later. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And every now and then I will pull out one of my old works and I'll just kind of flip through and I go, hey, that's pretty good. I wonder who did that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Which is probably my imposter syndrome talking. But
well, now we know what to look forward to, Holly and Daniel. We can get one of, like Brian's, let's say he's got a 30,000-word novella right now, and in the future we can look forward to that day he releases the unabridged 150,000-word version.
The director's cut, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. Kind of like The Stand with Stephen King when that took on a whole new level with the unabridged version. That grew a lot. But
I remember reading the first edition of that, and it's like, you know, well, now we have the unabridged version. I'm like, how? You used all the words.
I haven't even attempted the unabridged version. I'm like, listen, I got through that first one. No.
Yeah.
No. I got other stuff to read. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. My lips get too tired for reading those kind of things. So, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, we were just talking about that just the other day. Yeah, you know, Holly and her son Noah and I were talking about the unabridged versus the original the other day. But
You read it, Stephen.
But we're the unabridged. Yeah. But we're looking forward to it, Brian. Yeah, the one that's five times bigger, your novella that'll be from 30,000 to 150K on the unabridged. I'll make sure I get both versions and compare them.
I will make sure to autograph your copy, and I'll also make sure that my wife will not be the editor on that one.
You got it.
Just for my own sake.
Deal. Deal. I know how that is. Yeah, because with Holly, you know, editing, you know, a lot of my work now, it's I know how you feel. Yeah.
I'm preaching to the choir. I feel it. Yeah.
Yep. but there have been quite some teams because, like, yeah, Robert Jordan, his wife was his editor, and a lot of yeah. So that dynamic can work great. So I know how it goes.
Well, when you're very close to your editor, the editor can be more frank and brutally honest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, mm-hmm. I say it with tongue in cheek, but it's I tell people that the best edits I've ever gotten have been harsh. And
yes.
A lot of times I think it comes from the editor expected better of me and I have let them down. And so I really mm-hmm. work hard to take in the lessons I'm learning. And every piece we write, we learn something from it, how to do our jobs better in some way. And, and I tell people when I edit, I'm continuing that cycle of abuse in that I tend to be a little frank when I'm telling people. I don't get personal with the insults, but if I see the same error over and over and over, I have to stop myself. And it's like, oh, come on, Bad Brian wants to come out, but no, he must not come out and play. He must not destroy this human soul, not yet. So, there'll be time for that.
Yeah,
I
know what you mean. I keep a lot of this, I cuss and carry on at home and bitch and moan, but yeah, I try to be a little bit easier on the author. But, yeah, I'm like, why do you keep doing this? You know?
With mine and everything, when Holly goes through one of mine, she goes through it the first punctuation, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that first.
I feel you, man. I've never met a comma I didn't like.
Okay.
Oh, commas, yes, love them. But it's a good point because there are writers that are great storytellers, but you know when they they might not mm-hmm. deliver a spotless copy when they turn their stuff in, and that's part of it. You know, you find those kind of writers mm-hmm. and you got to work with mm-hmm. that sometimes. But then mm-hmm. you got others that that definitely deliver some clean copy and you run with that, but. But, it's mm-hmm. Quite a spectrum when working with many writers. So I was just commenting
in
the chat room about that.
And mm-hmm. I'm sure you're finding that, too. Right? It's the fact that when you edit, the more you edit with anything, the more you do, the better you get. But the more you edit, the better you write. Because then it's ingrained in your head because you're seeing these mistakes over and over. And so you catch yourself before you even do it.
Yes, that's an excellent point there. I have found the same thing, that when I deliver some of my edits to other people, it's like, okay, I start out by telling them that I'm not telling you anything I don't have to look out for in my own work. And every now and then I'll catch them mm-hmm. doing something that I'm like, oh, crap, I'm doing that. I need to stop doing that.
Right.
So it's a beneficial thing to be someone mm-hmm. else's editor every now and then. And if you don't have a taste for it, that's okay. There are people who edit, like my wife, she hates to write, but she's an amazing mm-hmm. editor.
Right.
And that's fine. There is room for one attention sponge in the family, and apparently I have occupied that position. So, she's to work. There's another phrase for that, but this is a family broadcast. But anyway, she, is not one who gets in the spotlight. I'm the one who has to push her, but she is just so amazing at what she does. And I told her this, so it's, you know, no secret. But, you know, she's an amazing editor, pushes me in the right direction. And
right.
When I get in the doldrums, she pulls me out of it. So, you know, it's good to have a creative partner in all this. You know, there's
good team.
More people ought to consider it. Yeah.
I can vouch for you, Brian. I'm fortunate to have that myself, but definitely a wonderful thing. And
We go somewhere, Steve's always like, well, they want to see you. They don't want to see me. They want to see you. And I'm like, well, you write the dang books. And he's like, it don't matter. They want to see you.
Yes, I
swear,
that,
Brian.
I
go into places if I'm alone and without Holly, and I go in somewhere, there is a look of actual disappointment with people's faces when they see that Holly's not with me. And I'm like, there it is, proof.
Oh my God!
they want to see Holly.
Oh God, I feel you so much here, because I will go to shows on my own because Cookie has like a real human job and stuff. In addition to hurting me, like, you know, trying to squeeze toothpaste back into a tube. But I'll go to a show, and the first thing after hello, Brian, is where's Cookie? Like, she's my parole officer or something. And I'm like, well,
exactly.
You know, she's at home. And they'll be, oh, it's good to see you, Brian. Hope you have a good show. Bye. Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, Steven knows that well.
Yeah.
I've learned to live with it, but it's rough sometimes. The deflation in people's faces.
It keeps us humble.
Yeah, definitely.
As I tell people, I'm proud of my humility.
Yep, it keeps you honest. Yeah. doesn't let your head get too big. that's a healthy thing, especially in the arts.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad thing.
I hear you.
So tell me how. Let's talk about the shows, man, because you have such great energy on those, a great presentation. I highly recommend, your network and what which of the shows that you host, I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot a little bit, are there, which is your favorite one to do and why? I'm curious.
Oh, this is where we decide the plane is about to crash, and I put on my oxygen mask, and who is the show I put on next? Yeah. I have the best time doing Comic Book Spectrum. We've been doing that for a little over a year, but I'm with four other terrific broadcasters, longtime comic book fans, one of whom is Brian Rodman, who was at Imaginarium last year.
Oh,
great,
yeah, Brian.
We kindled our bromance at that one. We have the photos to prove it. And
great guy.
You know, he is. I think the world of him. He's great. He along with Clyde Hall, Eric Hawkins, and Joe D. McPhee, we have a weekly show where we review a comic or two that we have picked up this week. And the purpose of this is to encourage people to go to their local comic shop and pick up new comics or explore a longtime title that maybe they've been ignoring for a long time. And we get into some healthy conversations. We have a lot of fun. We tease each other. It's just like four bro-hines getting together and having a good time. And we really look forward to this show. And I'd say probably that's my favorite show right now. Now, never mind. And, you know, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, hashtag always promote. But, you know, we still do Never Mind the Furthermore. And we've been doing that for, holy cats. I think I'm in somewhere near my seventh year of doing that show.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, one. Yeah, no, you've done that for a while.
Oh, yeah. And there was some morning that's like, oh, God, I don't want to be a comic again. And, you know, then I get on and I start reading the comments, and suddenly I'm thinking, I'm just going to do 10 minutes and I'm out of here. And then 2 hours later, I'm still going.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel you there.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that's love the show because it's a great way to keep in touch with people. And we solve creative problems on there. For instance, this morning, one of my callers was talking about how they are also a voiceover artist and a video editor, and they turned in a job for a publisher, and it's been a couple weeks and they've gotten nothing back. And so we tap into the community. We have several authors and several video people, you know, many creatives tune into the show, and I throw it out. Let's all get our opinion out here. And I think we gave the person something to work with. And that's when I think the show is at its best, when we all get together and work on a problem, you know, with different points of view, but all of us adding our different areas of expertise. Because, you know, even among, you know, we have probably about half a dozen regular prose writers who tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. Hi, folks. And, but, you know, like some write like one writes supernatural romance, one writes suspense horror, another one writes romance and erotica, and then there's me who writes anything of interest in any given moment. So, you know, we have a variety of things, and our skills overlap in some areas, but our fields of expertise and our experience do not, and I think that makes what we do a little bit, makes the show a little bit richer. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
how about clever?
It's a close second.
And clever title pending. I figure we'll sneak that one in there to give you get a few comments on you on that one.
I appreciate that. Clever title pending. It started out as the nighttime version of Nevermind the Furthermore. I thought it'd be the same thing as the morning show, but with more swearing. But it morphed into an interview show with creatives, and I call it talking to creatives about creativity and the business behind it. Now, we've kind of gone on hiatus for a few months because that was a very labor-intensive show. We're going to be doing some specials in the immediate future, though. But we would bring on maybe a writer, or we'd bring on three or four writers, three or four artists. We've also discussed crowdfunding on there. Somebody has a crowdfunding campaign that I think is kind of cool. We bring them on the show and expose them to a different type of person, and then at the same time offer them up as, okay, audience, you've got questions. Here's somebody that's doing the work. It's not somebody that you see all the time. They've never written anything more complex than a shopping list, and they're going to tell you how to get on the New York Times bestseller sort of thing. And we have people on who are doing the work, who have, you know, the product out there to verify it and the passion to share what they know with people. It's not like we're keeping state secrets here, people. And, you know, we share it with the audience, and we've had some, you know, really good guests, and, you know, our audience has appreciated, and I think it's inspired a number of people, which pleases me to no end.
Yeah, I've noticed that when you do your shows, the engagement is great, and that's something that I think every, you know, video content creator, you know, definitely is striving for, but you've got it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the comments, the interaction, and that's present in your shows in particular, and that's always fun to kind of watch.
Thank you. Well, I consider myself kind of boring, and so I try to have interesting people. Yeah. Slightly, at least. But anyway, but no, I, you know, it's an imposter syndrome that we keep preaching about on our shows. But no, it's like we have, you know, we get somebody on that, like, if I've never, you know, talked to them, I was like, I want to know what you do. I want to know how you do it. It's, you know, that's why I spend so many, you know, that's why when I should be writing, I'm on, like, Wikipedia looking up, like, you know, what was the number one, you know, radio hit in May of 1939? Oh, that leads me to this song, you know, to Deep Purple. Well, gosh, I just learned that Deep Purple originally was an instrumental, not a vocal piece. Well, who had the original? Well, let's look up their life. You know, and then 4 or 5 hours later, I know more about the song Deep. Yeah, the rabbit hole. Yeah. I know more about the song Deep Purple than most people should ever have to learn. So,
but it's fun.
Well, now I'm going to explore that because one of my favorite bands is Deep Purple,
yeah.
So now I need to know about the song.
There you go. There you go. And there you go. Ian Gillan, who, you know, you talk about, this is where trivia benefits writers. Ian Gillan, the original vocalist for Deep Purple, was also the original voice of Jesus Christ on the original recording of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep, got it on vinyl. Classic. I love it.
Yep. Oh, me too.
Absolutely.
Murray Head, whose brother was on Doctor Who and on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So you see this stuff all. One of my favorite shows long ago was a show called Connections with James Burke, where he would show, where the ox-drawn plow led to the invention, like it inspired the invention of something else, which inspired the invention of something else, and how it led to the, you know, down the road, you know, like 600 years later, we've got the nuclear bomb. Everything connects, and I love seeing these connections with things. I think that's my main rabbit hole when I should be right.
Very nice. Now, that's why, Brian, I have my writing computer is disconnected from the internet, and it's in another room from where I do my office work. I actually have an unconnected computer, because I know how easy it is to get on those rabbit holes and distractions. So I forced myself into an environment years and years and years and years ago to not be tempted in that, as far back as before my first book even came out. So that was a good, it does help.
That's because you're smarter than I am.
I know in concept
this is what I'm supposed to do.
I just know my vulnerabilities. And I get great curiosity, and I cannot put myself in that test. So I close myself off.
My problem is I write a lot of historical stuff, and so I have to read.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if this is right or
not,
so I go research it. You know, and it's 5 hours later, I've learned more about sheep shearing today. My book's not about that, but.
Holly's seen me do that. Oh my God, the amount many times Holly has seen me do that, or she'll yell about, "There you go again," when I'll get some weird book from Amazon on some obscure historical topic, and it's a book
and I'm
research
like,
piece.
Another book. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go again. Yeah. Oh yeah.
You would be amused, Brian, to see some of the interactions here. You would get it. You would get it because you'd know what I'm doing, and then you'd also understand what Holly's reacting to, and it's fun. It's entertaining to most people, but I have to I have to figure ways to smuggle in my research work.
You try. I got mine.
Yeah,
on you.
I've got one like Holly at home. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, lately it's been a fun foreway to the indigenous people of the Southwest and kind of the Four Corners region of the U.S. and the Puebloan people and the ancestral Puebloans and the Navajo has been for a project I'm doing right now. And Holly's seen the bombardment again of books.
Yep.
Oh
yeah,
man,
it's like looking into a mirror, I'm telling you.
But it's going good. But it must be going good, though. I mean, you're very established now, and you've seen some. How reflect on the growth of the show and how you think it's being received? Because you've been developing it for a while now.
Yeah, we've got a regular group of contributors, and we have some people who maybe can't make it every day. They send me notes of apology, things like that, which is sweet. But we also recognize that we're kind of doing a community service here because so many creative people, they don't really have anyone to talk to about it in their daily life. I call them civilians. Other people call them like the mundanes and such. But it's like
the muggles.
The muggles, exactly, and they don't, and God bless them, we need everyone to make the world go forward. But, it's like the people that when we st- start our writing or our creativity career. And these are the ones saying, why do you have your head in the clouds? Why aren't you, like, trying to get a job at a fast food place? Why aren't you doing this soul-crushing job that I've been at for 50 years? Why aren't you doing this, that, and the other? Why are you being different sort of thing?
Yep.
And, you know, mine is a safe place where people who maybe don't feel like they're in lockstep with everyone around them have a place where other people who are individualistic and creative are there, and we don't say, we don't know you, go away. We say, hey, come on in. Let's get to know each other. And we want to be that safe space for creatives of all types. You know, like I say, my show isn't just writers. It isn't just editors. We also have actors. We have artists. And all of the shows are like that. You know, Clever, you know, the comic book spectrum deals mostly with comic books, but we have a number of people that just tune in because they like to see us insult each other, like old friends do. And they might pick something. You know, we've had people that, like somebody, you know, we talk about, we don't do a lot of reviews of crowdfunded books because, again, we are trying to get, we want to be people to watch that show and say, hey, I like that book. I want to be able to turn around and get it, whether it means going down to my comic shop and buying a copy or going to, say, an online service and ordering it. But it's not going to be a comic where 6 months from now it might come out. No, it is. It exists right now, and if you want it, you can get your hands on it. That is what we're trying to do with the show. There's plenty of other shows that cover crowdfunding, and God bless them. I love those, a lot of those shows. But this is the identity of this show, and we have people that tune in and like hearing, like, say, you know, they haven't read a Superman comic in, you know, 20 years, and they know that one of us will pick one up, or Wonder Woman or Spider-Man or X-Men, and we'll review it and we'll tell them honestly what we think of it. You know, we, you know, in fact, for a while we had a thing where we were taking comics we didn't enjoy and throwing them across the room. And people were like,
oh, my. That's
yeah, we just
awesome.
Pick a comic up. This is a piece of crap. Whoosh, and often takes off. And we have Eric S. Hawkins to thank for it. And the thing is also, all of us are creative. You know, I think we only have one member of the crew who has not put together a comic book, but we all write, we all draw. Eric Hawkins, who he and I collaborate frequently, you know, he's got a wonderful book called The Zombieful World of Oz. And it's a merging
of cool
title. Frank Baum. It is a wonderful book. And I helped him do his taglines for him. Dorothy Gale has just been released from the sanitarium, and she's been cured of all these delusions about Emerald Cities and flying monkeys and all. Then the zombies appear, and she's rescued by a tin woodsman, a lion, and a ambulatory scarecrow. And it's a wonderfully refreshing title. It is a wonderful book, and Jody McPhee does stuff, professional wrestling milieu, another one about a giantess on the Chicago police force, and then Brian Rahman does his amazing stuff with, you know, Memoirs of an Angel and The Nebulizer, mm-hmm. which is one of the most fun concepts I've read in years. And then Clyde Hall, he's a freelance author. He's a been part of the Pulp Reality Award that we all shared in, and I do a thing or two occasionally. You never know. So you know, we all have creative backgrounds, and so we are applying this to our reviews.
Yeah, that does carry some weight too. Yeah, when you're actually a person that has been there, done that, and that does have a certain edge to, a review situation. And but passing along a hello from Renmelian, by the way, she has stopped in the chat room and wanted to give you a shout out. It's good to see her in there.
Good to see you.
Yes.
Love
Renmelian is
love
awesome.
Love her,
yeah, just. just, I mean, like you, just ridiculously multifaceted, multi-talented, and yeah, kind of like you,
yeah.
Make your head spin watching all the things. Yeah, she's involved in, kind of like you.
And she, I gotta shout her out. She is one of the most creative people I've ever encountered,
oh, yeah.
And such a positive attitude. She is amazing, and she's got a Patreon page. Y'all ought to check it out if you haven't already.
Yes.
She
absolutely.
Has all kinds of wonderful things on there too.
Yeah, she is one of our favorites, and like we were saying earlier in the show, I think we were on air, I think, Holly, when we were talking about her. Maybe it was right before the show, but yeah, we're fortunate enough to visit with her and Issa and Val not too long ago, and had a game night and got to go for some Goodfellas pizza in downtown Lexington. That's a New York style pizza, so the slices are as big as a plate, so the good kind.
Nice. We had a lot of pizza.
Yes.
You're talking my language, kids. You're talking my language. Nature's most perfect food.
Yes. I agree. And that's hilarious, because I have told my mom that for years, never won the argument with her. I advocated that fact for years, that it's nature's most perfect food. You are you just won me over, Brian. that was my lifelong battle with my mother to get her to accept that, so I could have pizza 7 days a week as a kid. But
oh my God, yeah, I could
fantastic.
Live on pizza.
Yeah, it is nature's most perfect food.
Yeah, from the looks of me, I have lived on it for way too long.
Yep.
But anyway, that's another issue.
I'm a little in trouble too, and it's also, yeah, I blame Holly a little bit because she's just too good in the cooking front, and no, I don't bother her to do this.
To
she just
me.
Loves to cook, and I just benefit from it. But
nothing
yeah,
wrong
it's,
with
it's
that.
Pretty amazing.
Not a darn thing
yeah.
wrong with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming up on just a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give you a chance to spotlight anything that you would want to, as far as places for people to find you online, and also go ahead and mention anything that you want people to go out and maybe try of your work right now, if you were to recommend a title or two for people to read you.
Well, thank you. I would recommend everyone go to my website, which is www.risingtide.pub. And we've got a listing there of our books, and also we have our Amazon author page. Just do a search for Brian K. Morris. And the thing is, people come up to my table and say, I ask them, what do you like to read? And they go, everything. And I'll just look at them with my jaw hitting the ground going, you know, it's a coincidence. That's just what I write. You're sure to find something you like, because I've got a lot of different things to offer. But please check me out. Also, please check me out on I'm on most major social platforms, but definitely check me out on my website. And please go to my YouTube channel for my broadcasting, Brian K. Morris-Rising Tide. And we're also going to be starting a new show soon. It'll be a pre-recorded show, but we're going to teach you how to write a book from no idea to finished product.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Very good.
So, yes, follow up, folks. Yeah, and let Brian know you heard about him on the show, too. So he'll come
please
back
do.
and visit us.
All you
definitely
have to do is just open the door, and, guys, I am yours. I am so glad to be here. It is always a pleasure to talk to you guys, and I love the show, and I thank you sincerely for having me back.
Well, anytime, and yeah, we need to have you sooner than later again. So yeah, because there's always fun stuff to talk with you about. I mean, one of the most prolific people I know, and one of the most cool and gracious people as well. So looking forward to seeing you on the live circuit soon. Do hope you can make it back this summer, and I'll turn it over to you for a final comment. But yeah, we've really enjoyed having you, Brian, and we'll look forward to having you again in the very near future.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you all. Much love.
All right. Take care, Brian. And,
you
next
too.
Weekend, next week, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll have another Star Chamber show, if I can get that out. And thank you for listening. Brian is just a perfect example of just a great win-win type of creative. Yeah, please follow him. Please pick up his work and support him. Great guy. So pass it over to you, Holly, and then Daniel, take us out.
Well, join us next Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern time. For another great guest, another great show. And until then, you know, paper or your hands to the keys, you know, be productive, write a word or two every day, and we will catch you next week. There you go, Daniel.
And we heard tonight from the great Brian K. Morris. You know, if you're not following him, I don't know why, because he has so much to offer, especially to new writers that are trying to learn this craft. You know, we try to bring some of the best of the field here, and it doesn't matter whether you're a writer, an artist, if you're a creative, we want to know about you. And be sure that you find out about Imaginarium if you don't know anything about it, and try to make that convention, because it is for all creatives of all types.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have a chance to meet again, be creative. This is Daniel Dark signing off.